Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart, distributed through Breadbox Media and recorded every Monday, 12:30 p.m., live right here on Reconciled to You Facebook page. I'm joined today by two of my dear friends, Tiffany Walsh and Deanna Bartolini. You threw me off with the Bartolini. You threw me off with the Gianna there. What's up with that? Like, I see it's Gianna. Two of my dear friends, Tiffany and Deanna. And we're going to be talking today about the Stay Connected journals for Catholic women, but specifically about why scripture is so important to our faith life, how it helps us to draw and stay closer to Christ. And then I'm going to ask the girls to share a little bit specifically about their Stay Connected journals. Tiffany wrote the Catholic Classics. And she didn't write all of them. She wrote about them. Tiffany, I just gave you a huge, you know, elevation in your writing, which really, I think your book will become one of the Catholic classics because you do such a beautiful job of bringing them to us. And Deanna wrote about the fruits of the Spirit. Deanna, I laugh when I say that because I know that we went back and forth about writing the gifts of the Spirit, but I just knew the Lord was calling you to write about the fruits because those are just something that I don't think a lot of women think about or spend time meditating upon. So I'm actually going to start with you. How did you feel about that assignment? And as you spent more time with the fruits, how do you feel that went?
Well, you know, in the end, God always has a much better plan than we do, right? So I think for me, what happened was, is the more I read and the more I thought, this is good because this is practical. And for me, practical is really important. And I've noticed just in talking to people who are reading the book that that's something that also strikes a chord with them. So if there's something that right away that you can read, even just the introduction, really, and you see, okay, so we're focusing on it's a very specific set of items. And I think that's also really helpful. It's not a huge list. It's not unwieldy. And it's very specific and it's practical. And so that, I think, makes it very, very helpful. And then, you know, as far as what's in the content, obviously, there's a lot of stories about my own life, but also the scripture that I was able to pull in really point us in the direction of saying, okay, so this is not for some holy person who lives in a convent who never goes out to the store, never goes on the highway, and is never rushed or harried or any of those things. It's not for those people. I mean, it is for those people, of course, but it's for us. It's for people who live in the world and who are striving to live in a way that mirrors Christ to other people in the world. And so that's why I like it. So even though it wasn't necessarily my first choice, like I said, it was definitely an answer to prayer. And so I always find that when your prayers are being answered, you should follow the lead of the expert. in this case, it was the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Mother. And so I wasn't going to argue with those two. That's not a good thing to do. It usually gets into trouble. And I say that from experience. So.
You know, and I think about the fruits of the Spirit, those are the signs that we are living in the Spirit. And I know a lot of women struggle to know whether they're living within are they listening to the Holy Spirit? Is their life being guided by God? And that was kind of the reasoning behind my wanting to do the fruits, one, because there wasn't a lot out there, but also to give us this practical, I love that word, this practical insight to see in our own life through the scriptures and through our meditation or reading of your wonderful reflections, that this is evidence that I am living, at least in this one moment or in this one area, in the fruits of the Spirit. So we also have with us Tiffany. And Tiffany, I gave you quite the charge to pick 7 Catholic classics and make them manageable in 120 or so pages. How did you feel about that task?
Yeah, well, I'm a huge bookworm. I'm also a librarian by trade, so it fit, I suppose, with what I do all the time, and just in terms of my day job, but also my personality, because I do love to become absorbed into what I'm reading and feel like I'm going away to another place and time with the book that I'm reading. And so it was a real thrill to collect the titles that I was going to be managing for the book, and to really dive into those. And it really appealed to me because I am a person who really enjoys fiction. And so I find nonfiction at times to be a heavier lift. I really enjoy memoirs and nonfiction of a variety that are personal. And I think that that does allow for that transformative feeling like I get in fiction, like moving into that world. That allows me to have that same sense with nonfiction. But obviously with spiritual nonfiction, sometimes you get memoirs, but oftentimes you do get those heavier titles. And so I find those more imposing, like I think many people do, to read. But what you had asked for me to do was to really find small selections for us all to be able to study together. And that really appealed to me because that's a manageable size, right? Where we can just, in a Lectio Divina type of a way, like just look at a small piece of a larger puzzle and really, really go deeply into what it means, how it pertains to our lives and our spirituality, and how we can just allow that to change our hearts on a daily basis. And that makes it to me something that I could really see taking on, where you're looking at it like small piece by small piece. So I really loved the process of going through the 7 books that we chose together and getting to know those holy men and women that were featured in those books and learning from their vision of personal spirituality, really, and from their lives. And I am a person, you know, Deanna mentioned the word practical, and I am a very practical-minded person. We did a group exercise at work on the education team that I'm a part of in the library, and everybody had this profile created of how you work so that we could see how well we work together with your strengths and weaknesses, that type of thing. And I am something called the executor. That's the most practical person on the team. I want a to-do list, and I want everything. I'll do those things, and I'm going to do them to the best of my ability. I like the manageable, practical ways of approaching things. And I really felt that so deeply with this project, with the Catholic classics. Let's have a list. We have these 7 books, and I'm going to find 6 selections from each. And we're going to just dive into those as much as we can. We're going to draw out day-to-day types of lessons. So things that just impact our daily lives, and our working lives, our roles as women, if we're wives and mothers, whatever the case may be. And we're also going to connect those to a specific number of scripture verses so we can really enrich our faith life in that way. So I created my list of relevant scriptures, and it did appeal to that practical side of me, to be sure. And I feel like it's what I really love how the book turned out is how it's a very manageable look and a very personal look at things that can feel overwhelming if you take them on all at once, like a really big spiritual tome written by a saint or the Bible. You know, we really break it down into a way that you can curl up in your favorite armchair after working all day or being with your kids all day, whatever the case may be, to have that 20 minutes or 10 minutes even, where you can read some scripture, read some personal anecdotes, read a small selection from one of the classics, record your own thoughts, and just build on that day by day whenever you have time to do it.
And you bring up something that was for me very interesting, was when I started to discern that this was what that the Stay Connected journals were going to be scripture focused. I asked you each to take these obviously very Catholic themes, and they are scripture based and connected to the scriptures, but not in the most obvious way. So not only did I give you both kind of a little difficult assignment in the theme and how you're going to connect it to daily life, because that was very important. The Stay Connected journals are to keep us connected with God through our daily, ordinary, everyday life. Also stay connected to each other. They're meant to be in a small group. But the third thing is they're to connect us to the scriptures, because scripture for me was how I came back to the faith, how God helped me to rediscover him, to hear his voice, and all the beautiful things that come from spending time with scripture. And I want to hear about your relationships with scripture in a minute. But first, I'd like to know how you felt about, start with you, Deanna, taking the theme of your book and then finding those connections through the scriptures, because each chapter has 3 to 5 scripture verses that intertwine to help us go deeper with the theme.
Well, so, I mean, obviously there's like the technical way that I did it, but basically once I found a selection, you know, maybe there were 10 to 15 to look at to begin with. And then I just went through them and I read through them and really very prayerfully said, okay, which are the ones that resonate with me? And then which are the ones that hopefully will resonate with the readers? And obviously, you know, all of scripture is helpful and useful, but you have to somehow get the focus so that the person gets what you're trying, the point that you're trying to make through this scripture. And so that's where the reflection comes in. So, but for me, it was prayerful, and I just really went with my gut, which is really the Holy Spirit telling you where to go. And so that part of the book, of putting that together, it was easier. Sometimes the hardest part was picking a few scriptures, whereas, you know, you couldn't add 15 of them, right? So you had to add a few. So that was often the hardest part, but it was much more prayerful, for example, than writing, you know, the introduction or something like that to it. But so it was very, excuse me, a very prayerful process for me, at least.
And I'm going to ask the same of you, Tiffany. How did you find that worked with sharing the classics?
Well, my task with that, it was made somewhat, I don't want to say easier if it is the right term, but oftentimes the classic itself and the person authoring the book, our saint or other holy man or woman, they would weave scripture into their work. And so it was just a very natural fit for me to draw out those scriptures for us to reflect on at the end of a particular chapter. And so it was nice and tidy and practical and orderly, which I really like, as we talked about before. But I found, you know, every day before I worked on this book, I always prayed to the Holy Spirit, which I think we all did. And so I always wanted this to be that it was the Holy Spirit sort of, if you will, writing the book. Not literally, but just inspiring, you know, the words that I was using. And so in terms of connecting the scripture with the Catholic classic, I was just really hoping that for everyone who reads this book, that it becomes a very natural fit, the text of the classic with the scripture, in a way that's really relatable to them. and that this is a way for them to relate not only a classical work of spiritual literature into their daily life, but also a way to weave the scripture into their daily life in another fashion. I know for myself, the way that I incorporate scripture into my daily routine the most is through the daily mass readings. And I like to go through those. And even if I can only spend a minute or so just reading it over and trying to think on it before I begin my day, that's just that there's a beautiful ebb and flow to that throughout the liturgical year. And so with my book, I was hoping that this was just an additional way of infusing that maybe in your evening time, when you're meeting with your group or when you're preparing to meet with your group, that you're looking ahead at the chapter and you're looking at those scripture verses, and maybe there's something that you can really pull out of that that relates to a challenge that you went through that week or a painful situation that's happening in your family. And that this is an additional way of infusing that into your spiritual life.
One of the things that I have noticed, I'm going to just take a second and put up the book, and I'm showing the pages, that there's just a verse. That's what the Holy Spirit inspired me to share. Just the verse with lines for women to open up their own Bibles. And I've heard more than once, well, why isn't the scripture verse there for me? Or why didn't you just put it at the back of the book so I could go find it? Well, I have two things to say about that. First, we do have the cheat sheets for the scriptures, which Deanna and Tiffany have theirs complete because they're really good. Me, perhaps, I'm a little behind, but it will be up by the end of the week, and all of those are available. And we also have a guide. A guide for how to use this in a small group study, and all of that is available on gracewatch.media/connected or on any one of our websites. You can email any of us or, of course, send me an email here through Reconcile to You Facebook page or reconciletoyou.com. We promise we can get these to you, no problem. But here is the reason that I did not put them in the book in any way, shape, or form. When I was first starting to read scripture again, when I was starting to do Bible study and spending time with God's word, oftentimes I was doing studies where they did the same thing. They just put the address and you had to go find it. And what I found was when I went to the address in my handy dandy Bible, it wasn't always the scripture verse the author had sent or included that was the one that God had for me. That's the one that inspired my heart. So oftentimes it was when I decided to read, well, what led to this being said, or what comes next after this? It was in continuing to read that I really found the message that God had. And it also twofold, when I wasn't reading a Bible study, I felt more comfortable going to the scriptures, spending time with God in his word. And this is really where we hear his voice. We learn to hear how he sounds and how he speaks to us. And, you know, when I go out and I speak, a lot of people, I speak in weird ways, things like, and then God said this to me, or I heard the Spirit speak to my heart. And they're like, how do you hear God's voice? I'm like, first of all, it's not audible. Don't be afraid. But I feel like I truly do hear God speak to me because of spending time in the scriptures. I know how God sounds in the way that my human body can receive it. I know how Jesus speaks because I read his words directly from the Gospels. So I don't, again, going to you, Deanna, and then to you, Tiffany, what was your experiences with the scriptures beforehand? Have you had anybody kind of, you know, I don't want to say complaining, but I had a couple of, hey, but where is the, and how did you feel about leaving that kind of a blank slate, Deanna?
Initially, I was not sure about it. I didn't want to put the scripture verse in there because I totally agree with the whole, it's better to open up that Bible. I look at us as being conduits. You know, the book is a conduit, not into my mental state or my life, but rather a conduit into the scripture. So you need to crack open that Bible. My hesitancy was leaving it blank. I am a teacher, and I thought, well, I need to guide this discussion a little bit. And then I thought, okay, well, maybe not. And Allison convinced me I didn't need to lead the discussion. And so that's what we did. And I think it's good. I think now as I look at it, I think, you know, this is exactly the point. It isn't about what I think you should get out of the verse. It's about what God wants you to get out of the verse and how to take that and use it in your life. The other thing is, I just need to say this. When you look up these verses in your Bible, big secret maybe for some of you, it's okay to write in your Bible. It's okay to write in your Bible. Sometimes I sit, if I'm sitting next to my husband, and I'll say to him, look, honey, I'm going to underline. He's like, no, you're not allowed to do that. I am allowed to do that. I am allowed to write in my Bible. So write in your Bible.
Yes, so. That is, I'm really glad that you're giving that advice. It is good advice. Write in your Bible. You know, and the reason they're not in the back of the book, I don't think I said that, was it's too easy for you to cheat. If I had put them there, if we had put them there, if you're having one of those days where you're like, oh, I'll just look at what the scripture is, you're not going to pick up the books. We didn't want to make it easy. But again, we have them for download. If there's a days where you just need them, you can tuck them in there. And also, I forgot my train of thought. It'll come back. Tiffany, what did you think?
Yeah, so when I was first drafting the first chapter of my book, Thomas a Compass, I had included the scripture verses in my draft of chapter one. And when I sent it to Allison to look at, you had written back with the feedback, I think we're going to not include the, you know, just have the verse number so that the women go into their Bibles, you know, this that we were just talking about. I said, oh, okay. And so I took those out. And then as I continued to write, I didn't include them. When the manuscript was complete, you know, we were in that final stages, one of my reviewers had gotten back to me and said, oh, I really think it would be great if we had the scripture verses right in there. And I thought, oh, this is interesting that there's just all of these different views on this very issue. And so the more I thought about it, I'm a practical person. So I think that was why I originally thought, oh, it would be so convenient to have them right there. Then when I had gotten your feedback on it, I thought, oh, I really like that. I'm a tactile person and I still enjoy print physical books, as you would expect me being a librarian. And I love the idea of women having to pull their Bible either in print form, granted, or they have a digital copy, but they have to go somewhere else besides the book, my book or yours, and they have to like be over there, like just immersed in God's word for those moments in whatever format it may be before they come back to the book to record their thoughts. I really like that idea. That then their attention is, okay, so this is where I am right now. This is really what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the Word of God. And so I like that physical reminder that that's where we're drawing our inspiration from. And there is something about just moving the venue from our books over to the scripture, whether it be in digital form or in print form. And so I do really, really love that. And then there's enough space there in the books that the person who's using the book can, you know, jot some notes down, not only their reflections, but they could also, if they wanted to, write out the verse if it's short enough, depending, or maybe a few notes on the verse. And I think that that's so useful. That's the way that we learn, that we remember things, for many people at least, is your own recording, not necessarily just reading or hearing somebody else say it, but writing it down. That forms a connection within your brain that you're going to be remembering that more. And so I really do love the way that it turned out.
Well, I'm glad, because I do too. And, you know, if you feel like the inspiration of the Spirit just hit you and you have a lot of people telling you differently, and sometimes it's hard to stick to what you feel God is saying. And again, I think that's even more reason to read the scriptures, because in my prayer, I knew that that was the truth. And I think that kind of is an overarching truth, that when we know the word of God, when we can put and hide the Lord's word in our heart, as the Psalms say, then when we're in those moments, when we're having a hard time discerning truth and trying to discern decisions, then knowing that God's word's in your heart and then you can trust it because you've spent time with it. And I also love Romans 8:28, which kind of gives me that out, that if I have heard him wrong, he'll fix it. I like that too. The thought I had lost earlier was the scripture reflection section, which is right, that follows right after each scripture invitation to search the scriptures. And for me, that was kind of a suggestion from kind of the group, my first group that I used to kind of get an idea how this would work, and my test group. And the things that they wanted to know from the author is, well, how did God touch you with those scriptures? Like, they wanted that feedback. They wanted to know. I think women, we have a hard time with wanting that right answer. And I'm glad that you said that, Deanna, earlier. There's no wrong way. It's your time with the Lord. But I think that in a practical sense, almost as a facilitator of the Bible study, even though we're not the one there leading it, though I'm very blessed. My Bible babes have agreed to do my book, so we start tonight. I can't wait to see it at work with the group. But we wanted to also give, after you spend time with the scriptures yourself, there's that feedback from how the Lord spoke to us through that, and how we saw the connection back to the theme. And again, I'm going to go to you, Deanna. How did you find writing the reflection after you spent time with the scriptures?
That was probably the easiest part, because that's just telling a story. You know, it's weaving the scripture into a story, whether it was stories about things that happened to me in my own life, or just stories from the scripture itself. So, telling stories it's fun. That's really, and the whole Bible is a story, right? So we just sort of expounded on another story. And really, again, just trying to show the humanness. I am not perfect. And so in some of those stories, you're going to see how imperfect I really am. And you know what? That's okay. It's really okay, because no one is perfect except for Jesus. And so we're in good company, right? So for me, that was really, it was the most fun and the easiest part to write. And I will say that all of the stories that I put in there, that there's a couple of deeply personal stories about my husband and I, and he was fully okay, 100% on board with me writing what I wrote. So in case anyone ever thinks, my gosh, did he know she was going to put that in there? He knew. So that was, yeah, it was definitely the most fun part, just to show how it really does impact your life.
And that was really important for me as well, that we make them relatable. Like, I've read many of Christian nonfiction, both Catholic and Protestant, just overall Christian nonfiction. And the ones that really changed my life, the ones that drew me closer to Christ, was when the author was very authentic, very relatable, very raw, very real. And I really appreciate the two of you both being open and willing to do that alongside of me. Misery loves company. No, I'm just kidding. And Tiffany, you as well, as we kind of wrap up our time together. How was that experience for you writing the scripture reflection?
Yeah, I feel very much the same way. That is what I enjoyed the most about both of your books, when we all read each other's through the editing process. I loved how personal they were and how you related the scriptures to your own lives. I just found so much joy in experiencing those things along with you. That's how I felt as I was reading it. So yes, I very much felt that way as I wrote mine. I also had the Catholic Classics author's experiences with those scriptures to weave into my scripture reflection section. And that was lovely, because I felt like it humanized them in so many ways for me, you know, because you think most of them have been declared saints by the church. And so it can be difficult to feel like you have a lot in common with somebody that has reached that type of a pinnacle. But, you know, so say St. Teresa of Avila, right? But reading, you know, so the scriptures that she would reference in her work, and then I was reflecting, praying to the Holy Spirit before I wrote, reflecting on those scriptures as well and looking at how she had spoken of them. And I thought, oh, well, she had certain challenges that she was going through, and this is how she felt that the scriptures aided her in that and how she understood them. And so maybe it's not quite as much of a leap to think that I could have something. You know, she was a woman, right, who lived on this earth just like me. And obviously her life as a whole was of such a holy nature that, you know, we can all aspire to what she did. We don't know, right? But we try. That's what we're always trying to do. And it just made me feel so connected to these members of the Communion of Saints and just generally the great cloud of witnesses, the Church Triumphant. And I really enjoyed feeling like I was navigating the journey along with them through the scriptures.
Well, I am so grateful to both of you for really taking that chance for, you know, like I said, bearing your heart and sharing your faith, because you're both such incredible women of faith. It was really important for me to share this journey. And I'm so excited because the publisher has approved and given us the go for the next three. So everyone who supported the Stay Connected journals in the Indiegogo or through purchasing and making your reviews on Amazon, thank you. Because the next three are coming out for Lent 2019. More information on that. That is a great, just a joy and a privilege to continue this journey, because I really feel that once you do the gift of invitation, and they're not done in order, by the way, you can do in any order you want. The gift of invitation makes sense to start with because it introduces you to Bible study and introduces you to small group study. But if your heart is like, I need to invite the fruits of the Holy Spirit into my life, then by all means, start with Deanna's book. And if you've always wanted to know more about the Catholic classics, Tiffany, remind me again of the books that we might find in there.
The Story of a Soul, St. Therese of Lisieux, Imitation of Christ, Thomas a Kempis, St. Teresa of Avila's
Venteria Castle.
Yes, because I know I looked at more than one with her.
Yes.
Also, in terms of more modern saints, Edith Stein's Essays on Woman, that was one of my favorites, and John Paul II's Crossing the Threshold of Hope. Also, Abandonment to Divine Providence is in there. And I lost count. I can't remember if that is seven.
I was really excited that you included Saint John Paul II's book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope, because I had completely forgotten about that book. Think it is it's just the perfect rounding of the ones that we chose through prayer, through the Holy Spirit together. So I just want to wrap up with, you are such women of faith. You have more to offer than just your books. You both have websites and ministries of your own. So I really wanted to give you this opportunity just to tell a little bit about where people can continue once they've fallen in love with your book to get to know you better. And we'll start with you, Deanna.
So my website is deannabartolini.com, and my Facebook page is Everyday Catholic. And I write at Catholic Mom and New Evangelizers and Amazing Catechists, though not as often as I would like on Amazing Catechists. And I am available to come and speak, either in terms of catechists or retreats, and certainly would love to come and do a retreat based on the book that we just published, The Fruits of the Holy Spirit. So anytime you're interested, you can find me on those places, on my website, on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram too, but you know, just look for my name, Deanna Bartolini. There's not a lot of Deanna Bartolini.
And I'll have the links down below in this Facebook Live, but also you can find them through breadboxmedia.com. And Tiffany.
Yes, so my blog is lifeofacatholiclibrarian.com. And I have book clubs over there and just regular, I call them life posts, just about, you know, very informal writing, which I enjoy very much, about things going on in my life and vocation as a wife and mom and librarian. I am also a regular contributor monthly at Catholic Mom, which I love, and I write some of their gospel reflections. Really enjoy doing that. So you'll see regular features from me over there. And I remembered that the St. Teresa of Avila title is the Way of Perfection, not Interior Catholic. We were debating between the two. That's the one we ended up picking. So
and trust the Holy Spirit on that. You're also and contributor to the Catholic Hipster book.
Yes.
And you can get that from Ave Maria Press. And that is such a great book. And you did a really great job on that. So I want to make sure I mentioned that Tiffany and Deanna are probably two of the most humble people I know. Now, and Tiffany, I'm just going to tease you a little bit because I follow you, of course, on Facebook. And we were having a discussion about what Advent book we might choose. And I love that you so humbly were talking about other people's books. And so I called you out on it. I'm like, how about your awesome book? And you wrote back and you said, I forget I have one.
Yes, that's true.
I just realized I only had your picture up for that. But I think that is so sweet. But you do have one and it is amazing. And I really love for people to look at exploring the Catholic classics with Tiffany Walsh and invite the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit into your life with Deanna and really give Jesus that yes to his gift of invitation. He just so wants to love you and he wants to love you through his word. These books are, you can go to gracewatch.media/connected. Let me say that this time in English, gracewatch.media/connected. And there you will find, you can look in the inside. I love that Jerry Windley Doust, who is the amazing publisher that we're also blessed to work with at Grace Watch Media, that he put all three books are on the Grace Watch Media website for you to really get a feel and a flavor for what each one has to offer before you choose which, or of course, all three of them. Deanna, Tiffany, thank you so much for joining me this morning on A Seeking Heart. And again, thank you so much for joining me on this journey with the Stay Connected Journals for Catholic Women.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. God bless. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.